Honey is playing on the radio, baby.
The world can be a scary place sometimes.
You're zipping along in the left-hand lane, and all of a sudden, ha! A couch.
But don't worry. We know someone who can help you survive your week.
Noonan steps in.
He'll help you deal with problems of the modern world.
Yes, because oft times, naked men will show up in your house, shower, and then make eggs.
He has all the answers.
He is one for four.
And when all else fails,
I can do 1,500 jumping jacks.
So sit back, relax, and allow Brian Noonan to drop some knowledge.
Good job, Noons.
Right here on WGN.
Ho, ho, ho! This is great!
I understand about 20% of what goes on around here.
Well, it's the big show! Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight, oh.
Good evening. Welcome. Glad you're with me. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. Firmly ensconced, as always, in the Allstate Showcase studio on a bustling Michigan Avenue Memorial Day weekend. You couldn't have drawn it up better if you went to Fantasy Weather Camp and said, this is what I want for Memorial Day weekend weather-wise. It is absolutely gorgeous. And people are in no short supply outside our windows here. Hopefully you are enjoying your holiday weekend, whether you are working or not. Take some time, and not to be preachy, but take some time to remember why you have the extra day off tomorrow. And there is a difference. And I'm going to start the show. Well, let me give out the numbers first before I start to lecture. 312-981-7200. You know that's the phone. That's the text. When you call in tonight, you will be talking to Sean Davis. Yes, Sean, I am not Cody Davis. He is producing the big broadcast tonight. So if you are nice to him, you get to me. That's how that always works. As I mentioned, that's the text line. Do you want to stay involved via social media? It's Brian Noonan Show on Facebook and Twitter. We monitor those throughout the program as well. I've already talked to a couple people about this, Roger. The difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day, and there is a huge difference.
Yes,
and veterans will tell you there is a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
But people still, mistake them. Well, let's thank all the veterans for their service, and that we should always do that. But that's Veterans Day. Memorial Day is completely different. That's set aside to remember the men and women of the armed forces who did not make it home, who died serving their country.
Exactly,
so a huge difference. And yes, it might seem nitpicky if one of your friends says, well, that's not really it. But you'll hear, as I mentioned, current and former service members saying the same thing. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, save it. That's great, but save it till Veterans Day.
Well, Memorial Day used to be called Decoration Day, if
right,
I'm not
where
mistaken.
Where you'd go and decorate the,
right,
the graves.
The grave sites, right. Right. So it's been lost through the years, I think, as people become more concerned with a holiday, especially a three-day holiday.
Listen,
as opposed to what the holiday really is.
I'm offering deep discounts on tonight's program. Normally,
look at
it's
you.
Free. Tonight, I'm actually giving everyone half a penny. If
look.
Half a penny.
Half a penny.
So half
you
a
are
penny.
So magnanimous.
Like isn't that some Christmas song?
A hey penny?
A half a penny will
yeah,
do.
Yeah, hey penny will do. Right.
Yeah. Well, right. Anyway, so no, I'm not really
don't
paying
mix
you.
Your
what are you insane? I'm not paying you to
it's
listen.
Free. How much
it's
better
free.
Can you get than that?
Well, and you get what you pay for. That's the beauty of the broadcast. It's not like I'm charging you something and you go, man, that was a ripoff.
Right.
It's free. Enjoy yourself. Have a great time. We are going to, oh, man, you know what the holidays mean, Roger. The holidays mean the Sunday Night Arcade opens back up. Yes, 7 o'clock, right after the 7 o'clock news, we'll be opening up the Sunday Night Arcade, which we rarely do since we've left the overnight. But it is the holidays, and I've been enamored of the children in the Scripps National Spelling Bee, as always. So we are going to do our own little Brian Noonan Show Spelling Bee. That will be exciting. Will we have definitions and all that other stuff? No. Will you be able to ask me a part of speech? Absolutely not. Will I mispronounce the words? There is a good chance that that will happen. But if you can spell the word that I say correctly, there's a chance you could win prizes.
But you got to put a time limit because everyone can Google nowadays.
No, it's instantaneously.
Okay.
You have to start within 5 seconds.
Okay.
But, all right. I guess, well, I guess if you misspell a word in Google, it comes up, did you mean dog, D-O-G? And I went, no, I meant D-A-W-G because I am street, brother. That's how I spell it. That's how I say it. That's how I live it. But so I guess you could. You're right. We'll put a very short time limit. You must start spelling the word before I finish saying it. Listen, I like to give people, I just drop something.
It's going to get a little confusing. Something. As you're saying, anti-disestablishmentarianism, and they're trying to also say over you, A-N-T-I.
That's why the game is rigged.
Oh, that's rigged. Why it's rigged.
It's like a carnival game. Nobody wins.
Yeah.
I get all the prizes. You try to land that dime on a plate, not going to happen. Oh, I've got a hula hoop. I can put it over the stuffed dog. No, you can't. It's never going to happen. You are never going to win the stuffed dog. But my girlfriend, take the $57 you're going to spend at that booth and take your girlfriend out to dinner. Because she's going to enjoy that more.
Yeah.
You know, go get her a henna tattoo on the midway. That'll be even better, you know. So your love will last for a day and a half.
At least.
Which is probably, you know.
Yeah. It's probably longer than the dog would have lasted. She would have ripped the head off anyway, you know, out of anger.
What kind of violent when women
jilted.
Are you dating?
Well, she gets jilted after, you know, going to the carnival. Then he never calls.
Wow. Carnival brings back some bad memories for Roger Badish. Happy holidays, everybody. Enjoy that. So we'll do that. We're going to ruin pools for you for the summer. We're going to talk about some of the timeline, the history of prom, and talk about the Olympics and what the World Health Organization is saying. So that, and we will check our Chicago shootings tote board sometime after 6:30, because, as you know, we're enamored now that since it's obvious there's nothing we can do, we're just going to make a game show out of it. And we're going to go the over-under on the shootings. We already know the number, but we'll set it for next week as well. And it's a horrible, horrible thing. And if you're thinking, how do you make light of that? Mm. If you don't get it, that we're, you know, we're throwing up our hands, then that's too bad. So I mentioned when I was talking to Carm and Adam about the Walk of Fame induction ceremony the other day. And it is, as I sit here in the Allstate Showcase studio, the Walk of Fame is directly behind me. So if you're coming down at all, over the summer, anytime you come down here and you're on North Michigan Avenue, you need to walk along Pioneer Court and see the Walk of Fame. It was, again, a wonderful, wonderful event, as it always is. The inductees this year, of course, Max Armstrong, Floyd Brown, Jim Carollo, who was our former chief engineer, Dan Fabian, Marilyn Miller, Tom Peterson, and Dean Richards, and they were all in fine form. We were, oh, man, we got lucky. I don't know. You weren't here last year.
We just beat the rain. It was so humid and hot last year.
Last year was unbearable.
And
it
we couldn't wait to get inside to cool off. I remember that.
Yeah, it was about 700 degrees last year.
Easily.
And I'm not exaggerating. Yeah. It was awful. I mean, everybody, you know when you sweat so much, you write down your back, then it just keeps going? This year it was great. No, the rain held off,
good,
thankfully, because the only umbrella I had in my car that I brought with me was a promo item from a former personality here at WGN. Yep. So that would have been awkward had I needed to pull that out.
Yeah.
I let a few people in on that. I said, man, I hope it doesn't rain. And they were like, why? Well, look at this umbrella. And some of them, without me even saying what was on the umbrella, they recognized it. They're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Not that umbrella. It's the only one I had in the car. Well, you better plan on getting soaked. I was like, yeah, I know. So it was great. And I got to see Max and Dean, who I see a lot. Max, I don't see too much. Got to see Marilyn Miller, who I hadn't seen since last year at the Walk of Fame induction. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful. Just a wonderful, wonderful event. And people were all spiffy and looking good.
You had the old bow tie on again.
I try to dress, Roger. I will say this. Only one, the ladies... Mm-hmm. 201 that I encountered here all complimented me on my wardrobe.
Of course.
There was only one person who had something disparaging to say.
What?
Well, that person is from your department. That's all I will say. That is all I will say on that.
How dare they?
It was horrifying. But that's all I will say. Now, all right. If you've been to the movies lately, maybe you've seen this. I had not. Something very disturbing happened yesterday at the theater, and not the usual things that disturb me. This was just a marketing idea that I don't quite understand in light of what we're trying to do as a whole. How will I explain all that? It'll make sense once I tell you. We'll do that on the other side at 720 WGN. It's a Chicago TV tradition, the Memorial Day game on WGN-TV. First place Cubs, welcome the Dodgers to town. It's Monday at 4 on WGN-TV. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN, here until 9 o'clock. Glad you're with us. All right. I went, finally. Now, it's been a gorgeous weekend. It's supposed to be even better tomorrow, if that's possible. But yesterday, during the day, we decided after we did a bunch of stuff around the house that we were going to go to the movies. Now, I have not gone to the movies in a while, actually, but I had been waiting to see Captain America, Civil War. It's been out for 3 weeks. I figured now's the time to go. Crowds will be thin. They're all going to see X-Men Apocalypse or whatever. Nobody went to see the Alice in Wonderland movie. I don't even think Johnny Depp went to see Alice in Wonderland.
He was busy.
You know who did go?
Who?
Amber Heard, just trying to keep the box office receipt, see if anybody, oh, man, that's more money for me.
Yeah.
But she doesn't get that one. She doesn't get money from this one, I think, because he did it before she was married, before they were married. Anyway, So I go to Captain America, and we go to a wonderful theater. And I don't get anything from these people. I know Nick hosts his stuff there, the Movie Co. in Rosemont.
Great place.
And I'm going to tell you, I will not go to I will not go to any other theaters. We went I guess I had gone to the movie not too long ago. Went to see Batman and versus Superman, and I went to a theater not a little closer to the house than the Movie Co, and I regretted it instantly. The only thing they had that Movie Co doesn't is the Coca-Cola Freestyle machine.
Oh, where you can press any of the buttons and stuff.
I tell you.
Yeah.
It scares me how excited I get when I see that. Because I don't drink pop anymore. But right. When I see one of those, I'm like, ooh, I can get vanilla or raspberry Coke Zero, and I can mix and match. I'm like a mad scientist. On the road trip to California, we went to a place that had it, and I don't know if I told you that. My daughter actually was like, how sad it was that I get so excited about that. But I'm true. All right, so that's all Movie Co. needs to do to kick themselves into a stratosphere that is untouchable. They would never be topped if they had the Freestyle machine. But their theaters are great. The personnel is great. I love picking my, reserving my seat. I love the whole thing. I know Arclight does that as well.
And the food is there great too, because the restaurant, I usually sit at the bar when I go for one of Nick's movies.
Do you go to the movie or you just sit at the bar like some rummy? And then I'll tell you another thing about Cats in America. I don't buy it. I was not a captain. What ship? I didn't see a ship. Nothing. Are you coming in to see the movie? Nope. Just sit at the bar. That's it. That's fantastic. So, all right. So, I haven't had the food. I've had the popcorn. I've had beverages. Mm-hmm. I've enjoyed it. I enjoy the whole experience. Yeah. But this is a weird thing. So, we get in before the movie, and we're there, I don't know, a little early. But we're sitting watching. Before the previews, they do all these little features and commercials. It's a lot of BS. But anyway, you're saying. But then the thing that caught me off guard was they do a couple interactive games with the audience, but they want you to have your phone out.
Right.
Using apps and stuff. And I'm like, hold on.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Everybody to the person complains about people with phones out in the movie theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, prior to the movie, now they do at the end, because I wasn't getting worked up, but I was dubious. I'm like,
you
how
thought
is this
it was odd.
Work?
You thought
yeah,
it was
why
odd.
Are you
yeah.
Why are you telling us to take out our phones and start texting and playing games on an app when a movie's going to start and then you're going to shush us? You're going to tell us to put our phones away, which they did. But I was like, this is. But then there was a competitive part of me that knows I dominated trivia.
Ooh.
That I could have dominated that movie theater. I could have won a small popcorn or something else.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I refuse to take my phone out because I'm still of that mindset that you have to take your phone. You got to leave
your
phone
out. But if they
out.
Do that far enough in advance to the start of the movie where they all should be put away by then.
They all should be put away. And yet, surprise,
oops.
Two seats away.
Oh, no.
A grown woman, full grown woman.
Yeah.
Not some punk kid. Had her phone out. She was trying to be subtle about it.
Uh-huh.
You know, she held it real close to her body. But out of the corner of my eye, I'm still catching it. And then there was a woman behind. If you were at the 3 o'clock showing of Captain America Civil War yesterday at the Rosemont Movie Co., and you're a blonde woman, and you were sitting in row F, shut up. How about that? How about shut up every time there's a scene change? How about when...
She thought she was home.
I guess, but I wouldn't want to live with her. Because she never shuts up. Good. And I gave the big crane neck turnaround and gave her the stare down. Didn't work. And then I don't know if I could tell. There's a part of the movie, and it's near the end. I'll try not to spoil it. I'll be as vague as possible.
I haven't seen it yet.
Be as vague as possible.
All right.
Where there's a confrontation between Captain America and Iron Man, which is no surprise.
Right.
And the Winter Soldier is there, which, again, no surprise. These are main characters you know are in the movie.
You've seen the trailers.
There's something that is revealed, and it's been hinted at throughout the film, and she blurts out, and it's obvious what is coming to just about everybody in the theater, except to her, because she now believes she has come across a cure for some disease, because she blurts out, "Oh, my God, they're blah, 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 blah." And I was like,
to more than just you. She's doing it to the whole theater?
It was loud enough where, I mean, granted, I was a row in front of her. But it was because there were a number of people going, "Oh," you heard the audible gasps of, "Shut up, lady, please,
good Lord,
just be quiet." But other than that, if you haven't, you got to go see it.
Well,
I waited for 3 weeks.
I'm going to wait for maybe four. I don't know.
There's nobody there. It was wonderful. The theater was
really
maybe 30 people in the theater.
Well, I got to find a time for Bridget and I to go.
Go for the matinees. That's the way to go. Matinee it.
Maybe a early evening. Maybe like a 3-ish.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah. They have a and again, I don't know why I'm plugging them. I get nothing from them other than that I like to go to the theater.
Right.
Any movie that starts between 4 and 5:30 is like the super duper matinee price.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I went at 3. I just got the regular matinee price. But if I had gone to the 4 o'clock movie, I would have gotten the super duper matinee price.
Nice.
And maybe wouldn't have had a blonde behind me. Yammering.
Maybe.
That says Berlin.
You know what you got to do next time?
Shut up.
You know what you got to do next time? You had popcorn, right? No, not stay home. You had popcorn, right?
Yes, which is not.
And did you have a drink?
Of course I had a drink.
Okay,
I'm going to eat popcorn. Just let it sit in my. So the whole movie, all you hear is.
Here's what you do next time when that happens. First of all, you got
yes. What? I need.
You got to make sure that you're sitting in front of someone who's doing that. So if someone's sitting further away from you, move over to them right in front. And when a scene comes along where they blurt something out, you act real excited, and the popcorn and the drink go backwards.
One seat away on Debbie's side who, when things would happen, would pound his chest.
What?
Like a gorilla. Would make sounds. And that
did you go? Oh, my gosh.
I told you where I went. Usually I very, very nice place. All right, on the other side of the news, we've got to, speaking of gorillas, we're going to get into that story, and we will check our Chicago shootings tote board. Very exciting. Roger will have the official number for us when we come back after the news, but we'll do this first, Roger and Two on WGN. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. That's the phone number. That's the text number. That's how you get a hold of us, unless you want to go social media. It's Brian Noonan Show on Facebook and Twitter. Fitting that we're coming back with a little Welcome to the Jungle, because we talked about, last week we got into it with you, and you had some great suggestions, but we all kind of threw up our hands with the escalating gun violence in the city, and it seems like there's nothing we can do about it. And there was talk last week of how, you know, all things are going to get beefed up for the holiday, and maybe that will bring it down. But you know what? Doesn't seem to have happened. The holiday shootings are, alive and well, and way too many, if you ask me. So I mentioned before the news, I said it was exciting, and some texters were like, "How can you say that shootings are exciting?" Well, we're being sarcastic, because we're throwing up our hands. It doesn't seem like there's anything we can do to stop it. Increased police presence, which you heard Roger and before Roger, Veronica's reporting on this too. Deputy Superintendent Joe Escalante is saying, listen, we've got to put more, we're putting more patrols on the west side, because that's the district where more and more shootings seem to be happening. In the Harrison District, 13 of the 19 shootings Saturday night were in the Harrison District, so It doesn't seem like we're doing anything. So we've decided we're just going to embrace it. If you can't fight it, you just embrace it. So every week we set an over-under on the amount of shootings, and it is a horrible thing to have to do. But maybe people will start paying attention. Because if you're outraged that I'm joking about it, why don't we get outraged that it's happening? See, there's a difference. You can get mad at me for making, quote-unquote, making light of it, which I am not. I am, but trying to draw attention. Or you can get angry and talk to people who are in power who can do it. Now, I don't know. Did we set an over-under last week, Roger? I know the week before we set an over-under.
I don't think we did.
Well, we're setting one for next week. So next Sunday, The over-under for next Sunday is 36. 36 over-under. Total shootings.
36 total shootings.
Total shootings. That will include woundings and fatalities.
Right.
Unfortunately, let's check this week's numbers, though, if we can. Let's see what we've got.
I've got them right here.
All right, it's time for the Brian Noonan Show weekly shooting update. How many shootings have we had so far this Memorial Day weekend?
Well, since Friday, just after 12 noon, because that's the unofficial
start.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I call it. Yeah,
there
that's
you
what
go.
We'll call it.
12 o'clock, you head out, and that's your weekend. We currently have 5 dead, 42 wounded, so a total of 47. And we can do a comparison to last year.
Yes, please, let's.
For the weekend, the last year there were 8 killed and 24 wounded.
All right, so we've upped our game.
Yeah, and that's the good. Year before, 9 killed, 27 wounded.
All right, congratulations, Chicago. You've outdone yourself. You have outdone yourself. That's fantastic. Very sad. So the over-under for next week, 36. Why do I have a very sad, sinking feeling that the over is always going to win? Unless I set the over-under at like 100.
Well, I think you're fairly 36 realistic.
36 is a realistic number. I'm hoping
for a
that
regular
it's less.
Weekend.
Yeah, now granted, we have to kick it up because, but see.
Well, but now these numbers.
Right, but we haven't even counted tomorrow.
Right, we're not even talking Monday yet.
So we're doing the same kind of numbers
exactly.
as we would on a regular
yeah,
weekend.
Very comparable, yeah.
You know, and.
Yeah. And I will tell you, I'm going to amend this.
All right.
Because the latest official tally, because again, we go with the Chicago Police Department statistics. The last official shooting that we know of was at 12:35 this afternoon.
Yeah.
And there have been, it's now 6.5 hours later, there have been other shootings since then. They just haven't been officially reported by the police. There have been at least 3 more shootings. No fatalities yet that we know of. So, but I'm just going with the official report that we have at our hand right now.
Yep. People calling for me to be fired because I'm joking about this.
We're not joking.
No, we're not joking. These are happening. If you, you know, everybody's wringing their hands and nobody's doing anything about it. So,
I hate every newscast.
This is it.
Every newscast, I have tried to present other stories as opposed to the crime statistics. Crime is very important to people living wherever you are.
My mom's friend lives in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
She's now my mom's in her late 70s. Her friend is the same age. They're coming here because she's from here. So she's coming back to visit this summer.
Right.
She called my mom, and this is not an exaggeration or something that I made up for the show. I was talking to my mom today. She told me this, that her friend in New Jersey said to her the other day, is it going to be safe for me to drive from the airport to my family's house where I'm going? Because all we hear about outside of this city is the murder capital and the shootings and the expressway shootings and the dozens of shootings every week. And so people, you know,
yeah.
People are paying attention. We're just not paying attention.
When it makes national news,
right.
Now you got an issue.
Sure, but now we all have to treat it. Oh, please be somber and wring our hands and cry. You know, that hasn't been working. So maybe something else will work. I don't know. And if you're offended by that, again, good. Be offended. You want to be offended at me? I think it's misdirected, but whatever.
You know, let's look at the bigger picture this year to date. Okay?
Yep.
Shot and killed in the city of Chicago, 228 people, year to date. Number shot and wounded, God, I hate to say this, 1,268 people.
So over 1,200 people have been shot and wounded, and we're not even halfway through the year.
Yep.
All right, fantastic. But get mad at me for joking about it. That's fine. All right, let's turn our attention to something that people are just as incensed about. And I'll start by saying this. I am not one of these crazy PETA people who believe that animals have the same rights as human beings. I believe in treating animals humanely. I would never, I can't imagine being cruel to animals. If doing an experiment on some animal suddenly cured a disease that has taken thousands of human lives, well, okay, we're higher up the food chain and sometimes that's what happens. But I feel bad about this gorilla, and you've been hearing the story. Cincinnati Zoo had to shoot and kill a 400-pound gorilla, 17-year-old silverback gorilla, because a 4-year-old slipped into the animal's enclosure. Now, the animal, the gorilla, you've heard it, dragged the kid around for about 10 minutes. Thank God the kid's okay. He's in the hospital. Everything's going to be fine. But they had to kill this gorilla. They said they couldn't tranquilize it because it takes too long. They were afraid maybe it would fall on the child, or once it got shot with the tranquilizer, react badly. It didn't seem like from witness accounts anyway, it didn't seem like the gorilla was aggressively trying to hurt the child. But, you know, if it's my kid in there, I'm gonna want something done quick. And if it means shooting the gorilla to get my kid back, I'm going to do that. Now, here's where I'm wondering what we should do, because I'm holding the parents responsible for this. I had a small child. She's now a big child, but I had a small child. And when we were anywhere where there was even a potential for danger, I did not take my eyes off her. And I know you're like that. Most of us are like that. You got an eye on your kid, and you are watching them nonstop. So for a child to be able to go through the railings and then through some wire and fall into this gorilla enclosure, you got to look at the zoo at some point too for having a barricade that can be breached by a 4-year-old, because that doesn't seem very secure. But then you've got a parent who, and I know, listen, if you're going to be a defensive parent, say, if you only have to take your eye off your kid for a second. Yes. And you know what? At 4, they're moving. I understand that. But you either have to keep them in the stroller, or you hold them by the hand, or you're right next to them. And the minute there's enough time, if he was able to go through the bars and then through the screen, there's enough time to grab that kid. So now you've got an endangered species that had to be critically endangered, the Western lowland gorilla. Critically endangered. They had to shoot this gorilla to save the child. Okay, I'm not going to say the gorilla's life is more important than the kid's. That's not true. You did what you had to do. The zoo seems completely broken up about this. But what liability should the parents have to take? If I'm the zoo, I'm going to try to get some sort of compensation from these parents, because we've got this animal here that we're trying to take care of, and we're trying, you know, these zoos, for a lot of people don't like zoos. I have no problem with zoos, because it's not like these animals are in little cages. They're trying to breed them. They're trying to, you know, continue the species. I have no problem with that. But now you've had to kill the male of this display, I don't know, whatever, in the sanctuary. You had to kill the male. So should the parents bear some responsibility for this? Should there be some financial liability from this kid's parents? Or do you think they're going to end up, and I know this is more likely the case, the kid's parents are going to sue the zoo, and the zoo is going to have to not only lose their animal, but pay out a lot of money. Who's responsible? 312-981-7200. We'll talk about it a little more on the other side. It's 720 WGN.
We'll talk to Howard Kramer. He used to be the curator of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's going to tell us all about this summer's concert season.
Chicago, how's everybody doing?
And how America can get out of its massive cheese problem.
A what?
Rokan with Anna. They're back on Tuesday afternoon on 720 WGN.
Memorial Day is just around the corner, and if you've decided this is the year you're going to replace those old worn-out windows, I have great news for you. Hi, I'm Andrew Knopik of Renewal by Andersen, and right now during our Memorial Day sale, save 20% off your entire project, including installation, with no money down, no interest, and no payments for one full year. Plus, for 2 weeks only, save an additional $200 off your entire project. That's right, an additional $200 in savings on top of our 20% discount. Call between now and Memorial Day to save 20% and pay no money down, no interest, and make no payments for one full year. Plus, take an additional $200 off your project during our Memorial Day sale. If this is the year you check windows off your list, there's no better time than now. Remember, these great savings end on Memorial Day. Call Renewal by Andersen today. Call 855-444-6778. That's 855-444-6778. Renewal by Andersen, the better way to a better window. Discount and financing with approved credit only. Minimum purchase required, 0% APR. Call for additional cost information.
De-stress in paradise for less with Apple Vacations. Have it all. Non-stop flights, magnificent beaches, unlimited drinks, and gourmet dining. Whether you're looking for a weekend family getaway or a full week of adults-only luxury, the vacation choices are endless with Apple Vacations. Explore Riviera Maya. 3 nights of unlimited luxury at the adults-only Secrets Capri Riviera Cancun start from only $6.99. Or make it 3 nights in Punta Cana at Secrets Royal Beach Punta Cana starting from just $7.99. Both trips include round-trip non-stop air, resort transfers, all meals, drinks, and taxes. Call your favorite travel professional or visit applevacations.com to book your trip today. Prices per person based on double occupancy for select departures starting June 6th, including charter air on Frontier from O'Hare, and taxes and fees including September 11th security fee. See applevacations.com for baggage charges. Prices subject to availability and change. Restrictions apply. PC14064.
Want to see what you'd look like if you had a flatter belly? Now's your chance, because for a limited time, we're giving away free trials of Nubiotics, the new discovery that flattens bloated bellies fast. But hurry and call now while we're still giving it away for free. 1-800-500-1734. Strict limit of one free trial per household. These free trials are reserved for anyone, male or female, who's looking for maximum belly flattening in minimum time. Nubiotics is scientifically formulated with natural ingredients to flatten bloated bellies fast by cleansing pounds of rotting food and toxic sludge from your body. It even combats periodic heartburn and acid reflux. So just think how much better you'll look and feel. Want to see what you'd look like with a flatter belly? Now's your chance. But hurry, call now for details while we're still giving these trials of Nubiotics away for free. 1-800-500-1734. That's 1-800-500-1734. If lines are busy, try again. 1-800-500-1734.
Brian Noonan on 720 WGN talking about the gorilla in Cincinnati who was shot after a four-year-old fell into the enclosure. Thankfully, that four-year-old is okay, but the zoo had to shoot the gorilla, an endangered species, because I think negligence on the part of the parents. Now, there have been talk that the parents are, of course, looking to sue the zoo, not only for the fence, but because there wasn't an attendant on duty. How many times have you been to the zoo and seen attendants just hanging out? I've seen people in the enclosures working. I've seen, zoologists or whatever, cleaning things up, working with the animals. You don't usually see just attendants just hanging out. You know why? Because most of us are smart enough to know that we keep our hands on our kids and we don't let them climb on the bars. But that's just me. I want to know what you think. 312-981-7200. Should the parents of this child be held financially responsible for the death of this gorilla? Sarah's in Streamwood. Hi, Sarah. You're on WGN.
How are you guys this evening?
We're well, thanks. How are you?
Good. I've been reading on Facebook all day, and a lot of people seem to be on the side of the zoo, meaning they feel that the parents should be held liable. And I agree with what you just said. I think the parents, I'm tired of parents not being accountable for their kids' actions. You know, it's hard for me to say because I'm not a parent myself.
Okay.
But I do work with children. But unfortunately, I think you're right. The parents are going to go after the zoo, and nobody's held accountable for their personal actions anymore. So I think the zoo should go back at the parents, but unfortunately, again, I think the parents are going to try to sue.
I think you're right, Sarah. Thanks for the call. Yeah, and listen, we have to look at the zoo, too, because as I said earlier, if a four-year-old can breach your system to keep people out of the gorilla sanctuary then or exhibit, then you've got some other things to worry about. Let's see. We've got some texts coming in as well. Absolutely, the parents should be liable for the gorilla's death. It's bad enough these large mammals are in a cage than to be shot and killed while in prison for being an animal. He didn't even hurt the child. Make her pay with money and time in jail. And let's see. Right on. A huge parenting fail. Definitely financial liability to the parents. If they sue the zoo, I will be furious. They should bear the cost of bringing another silverback in and introducing him to the family group. This will have long-lasting repercussions as new males do not generally tolerate the offspring of the previous silverback. So sad. Rosemary is in Andersonville. Hi, Rosemary.
Hi, Brian. How are you tonight?
I'm well, thanks.
I agree with you. The parents should be held responsible because parents nowadays let their kids do anything. They're on their cell phones and everything, and the parents should be held responsible for that. Because I remember a few years ago at Brookford, a little boy fell in, and the gorilla went over and held the little boy till yes. they could rescue him.
Yeah, and I don't know if that would have happened, because that was a female gorilla, and I think most of us will remember seeing that footage of the female gorilla holding the child like it was her baby until they could come and get it. This time it was a male, and while they say he wasn't trying to hurt it, he was dragging the child around, and maybe that was some sort of aggressive action. According to the zoo people, they had to take care of it. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Half a dozen one, a six dozen of another.
Exactly. Thanks for the call, Rosemary. Let's go out to Westmont. That's where Kathy is. Kathy, you're on WGN.
Hi, Brian. First time I get to talk to you.
Oh, good to have you.
I'm in complete agreement with you and everybody else. When I heard this story, my first thought, the first thought in my mind was, where are the parents?
Mm-hmm.
Where are the parents? So, yes, they should definitely be held accountable, and I'm sure there's going to be some stupid lawyer that's going to say, "Oh no, we'll go after the zoo."
Well, and there's a part of me that would understand it to a certain extent, because the zoo has to re-examine how they keep people out, because a 4-year-old shouldn't be, no matter if you're watching a 4-year-old or not, they shouldn't be able to get through your barricade. They shouldn't be able to. But the parents need to be on top of this and watching that kid and the loss.
Definitely. It's the parents have to bear the responsibility for this.
All right, Kathy, thanks for the call. And Greg is in Lombard. Hi, Greg, you're on WGN.
Hey, Brian. You just made my point for me. I'm in agreement with you almost entirely, except for the fact that I feel that the zoo is completely responsible to make sure that nobody is able to get through the barricade, like you had mentioned.
Yeah.
And if they can make it through the barricade, they aren't doing their job. Now, if the kid were walking down the sidewalk in the zoo and tripped over the curb and broke his nose, I got to hold the parents responsible. But that wasn't the case. The case was the gorilla was behind bars where he shouldn't have been able to get to. And he did.
Yeah, and So you're looking at both sides. I still think the parents have to have some sort of responsibility. If it comes to that, the zoo has to go through a complete reexamination of all their deterrents to keep people out of their enclosures. If a 4-year-old can do it, imagine somebody who's a little more evolved. They could, older. Right. We could do it much easier. Greg, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's see. It's sad. And again, I'm not saying that it should be the kid over the gorilla. That's not the point. But at some point, you gotta watch your kids. We've all been places at the park or at the lakefront or somewhere where you see parents completely ignoring what their children are doing, and thankfully, 99% of the time, nothing bad happens. But that 1% is too much. If it's too much to watch your kids where you go somewhere, then don't take them or don't go. It's one thing if you're at the grocery store, but even then something terrible could happen. Your kid pulls a display over on top of themselves, something falls off a shelf, and then you could say, well, the grocery store shouldn't have anything on the shelves. Well, that's not realistic. So you gotta watch your kids. And I know that seems very elementary, and yet obviously it is not. All right, have you been watching these scripts? Did you watch the script spelling bee this week? Oh, it was exciting. That their big story about the first grader who made it so far, and then another tie. Oh, man. All right, let's do this, and I'll tell you how to get involved. And you can. We're opening up the Sunday Night Arcade. Yes, we haven't done it in a while, but we're going to do it tonight. And we are having an old-fashioned spelling bee without the definitions in the parts of speech and stuff. We'll do all that on the other side. It's WGN.
Shall we play a game?
It's a new game, only this time the game is real. Can you handle it?
Everybody play the game.
Play.
Time to play the game.
Oh my goodness. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. We have not heard this music in quite some time. It is the theme for the always popular Sunday Night Arcade, the most popular radio quiz show in North America. Yes, I'm standing by that. I don't know if it's true or not. But until you prove me wrong, we're going to go with that proclamation. If you didn't get through to play along with us on the air, then make sure you find somebody at home. Go out in the street, grab someone, and play along with them, because during the Sunday Night Arcade, at-home wagering, not only encouraged, but expected. I am your charming and delightful host, Brian Noonan. Of course, with me, as always, on Sunday night, keeping score, the always buoyant Roger Badish. He's going to keep score.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. You ready?
Yep.
Let's meet our players, shall we? All right, Greg is in Rockford. Hello, Greg. Welcome to the big show.
Thank you.
And what do you do for a living, Greg?
I am a sales manager for a California-based company.
Oh, very nice. Sales manager. And are you a good speller, or do you rely on spell check?
I remember getting straight A's in spelling when I was in fourth grade.
All right. Well, listen, fall back on that. Use that as the kind of confidence you're going to need to dominate your opponent. And that opponent is Jim, and he is in Skokie. Hi, Jim. Welcome to the game.
Hi there.
And what do you do for a living, Jim?
I'm an assistant PT.
Assistant PT. Is that physical trainer?
Therapist.
Therapist. Physical therapist. Very good. All right. Are you a good speller, Jim?
I think so.
Do you need to do a lot of spelling in your physical therapist job?
Sometimes, yes. I try to be correct.
All right. Well, gentlemen, I don't know if you have been watching the Scripps National Spelling Bee, if you watched it this week. These are actual words for seventh graders. These are study words from the Scripps National Spelling Bee for seventh graders. How it's going to work is I'll ask you, I'll give you a word. If you can spell it correctly, you get a point. If not, your opponent will get a chance to steal. First one to get to five correct words, or whoever is leading when time runs out, will be our winner. Greg, Jim, do you understand the rules? Are you ready to play the game?
Let's go.
Yes.
Oh, let's go. I like Jim. He's very ready. All right, let's flip and see who goes first. We will go, first word will go to Greg. Greg, here we go. Again, these are actual spelling words from the National Spelling Bee for seventh graders. Esplanade is your word. Esplanade.
E-S-P-L-A-N-A-D-E.
E-S-P-L-A-N-A-D-E is absolutely correct. Very nice. All right. Now we go to Jim. Jim, you ready?
Okay.
Philharmonic.
H-A-R-M-O-N-I-C.
I'm sorry? Say that again.
H-A-R-M-O-N-I-C.
You may have misheard me. It is Philharmonic. Philharmonic.
Oh, yes, I did. P-H-I-L-H-A-R-M-O-N-I-C.
All right.
I thought you said spellharmonic.
No, I'm sorry. I will try to enunciate. I'm drunk, let's be honest. No, I'm not. But, all right, Roger, look at that. It's the end of round one.
It is tied one apiece.
One apiece. This is going to be good. I'm going to have to try. Now, these are seventh grade words, so I'm hoping these guys can blast through these, but you never know. Greg, here's one for you, and I'll try to enunciate. Evanescent. Evanescent.
E-V-I-N-A-S-C-E-N-T.
Go!
That is incorrect. Incorrect. That means, Jim, you get a chance to steal again. Your word, evanescent.
E-V-A-N-E-S-C-E-N-T.
Very nicely done. Yeah, Jim.
End of round two.
No, it's not. No. Because Greg, Jim stole that from Greg.
That's right. It was
a
steal.
Yeah, so we stay with Jim for another word.
Here we go.
After getting evanescence, that is very good. Jim, acquiesce. Acquiesce.
A-Q-U-I-E-S-S-E.
Oh, that is incorrect. Greg, your chance to steal your word. Acquiesce.
Acquiesce. A-C-Q-U-I-E-S-E. That's wrong.
I like that you just thought, no, that's wrong. You were only one letter off. Had you had the final E, you were correct. It's A-C-Q-U-I-E-S-C-E. Acquiesce. Acquiesce. You were both very close. Very close. That's all right. You've both, I'm guessing, been out of seventh grade for a while. All right, Roger, that now ends the second round.
And at the end of two rounds, the score is now Jim 2 and Greg 1.
Oh, all right. This is very exciting. We come back to Greg then. Greg, I don't know if you've been out to eat today. Maybe you didn't go to one of these places. But please, if you can, spell the word smorgasbord.
S-M-O. S-M-O-R-G-A-S-B-O-R-D.
Smorgasbord.
Very good.
It was good, because I always mispronounce it as a youth and called it a smorgasbord.
Yeah, so but there's no shm.
There's no shm.
Yeah.
There's only a sm. So that's good. There's a tip for you young spellers out there. If you're a young speller, are you really listening to this program? I don't think so. All right, Jim, you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. Impervious. Impervious.
I-M-P-E-R-V-I-O-U-S.
Very good, Jim. Impervious. Jim is impervious to defeat. I think. We'll see. But, Roger, that ends a round.
That is the end of round three, and the score now, Jim 3 and Greg 2.
All right. Yes? Oh, somebody. I thought somebody was piping up, like dropping out of the game or something.
No.
Or swearing. I thought somebody had some sort of episode.
There's too much on the line for anyone to drop
on the line.
Out.
Yep. Did I mention that we have prizes? We do. Of course we have prizes. What kind of game would I be running if I didn't have prizes? The usual kind of game. All right, Greg, you ready?
Yes.
Resilience. Resilience.
R-E-S-S-I-L-I-E-N-C-E.
Oh!
Oh, that is incorrect. Jim, for a commanding lead, you can steal if you can spell resilience.
R-E-S-I-L-I-A-N-T.
Ooh, I think he misheard me again.
Yeah. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
What did you say? I thought you said resilient.
I said resilience. 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 All right, well, that was a steal. We'll stay with Jim. This is Jim's word. Here we go, Jim. Infrastructure. Infrastructure.
I-N-F-R-A-S-T-R-U-C-T-U-R-E.
That is correct, Jim.
Jim was right on top of that.
Yeah, he wasn't messing around with infrastructure. And, you know, again, I'm trying
what
to announce.
What did you say, resilience or resilient?
Resilience. Resilience.
I couldn't hear it.
That's all right. You're still up, Roger. Well, I can't say the score. Contractually,
right.
Roger has to
we
give
are
the score.
At the end of four rounds on the arcade, and Jim leads 4-2.
All right. Greg, your chance to narrow the gap. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. I wish I was wearing some of these today. Espadrille. Espadrille.
Espadrille. E-S-P-I-D-R-I-L-E.
Ooh.
Close.
Just getting the easy ones. And,
well, we'll see, because, Jim, you have 4. You now have a chance to steal. I would like you to repeat the word so that there's no confusion.
Your espadrille.
Word, espadrille. For the win, Jim.
E-S-P-I-D-R-I-L-L-E.
No, gentlemen. Espadrille. E-S-P-A-D-R-I-L-L-E. Espadrille. All right, but we stay with Jim, who still has 4. We don't deduct points here on the Sunday Night Arcade. We let you keep your points, even when you have a word that is spelled incorrectly. And here we go. For the win, Jim, are you ready?
I think so.
Diametrically. Diametrically.
D-I-A. M E T R I C A L L Y.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Yes, indeed, Jim. You got it correct. Congratulations. And with that, Roger, make it official.
The official final score, even though both players were exemplary.
Oh, spell that one.
Thank you.
That's not on my list.
E-X-E-M-P-L-A-R-Y.
All right, now you're just showing off, Jim. No, really, why do you have to rub Greg's nose in it? Greg feels bad enough. He's like, oh, my God. You know, and now you're showing off with bonus words.
I thought I'd get extra credit.
No, there's no extra credit. But listen, you get my extra admiration.
There you go.
Because I couldn't have spelled it. So it's
on the arcade, it's 5 for Jim and 2 for Greg.
Well, Jim, congratulations on the big win. Greg, good game. But, gentlemen, don't fear, because I make sure that everyone, I am like the youth sports of radio contests. I make sure that everyone gets a prize. And so, Jim, for being the big winner, you are going to get a pair of tickets to The Producers. It is now playing through June 26th at the Mercury Theater Chicago, featuring a riotous mix of eccentric characters and show-stopping songs. The Producers is a spoof on the big old-fashioned Broadway musical. You can get tickets by calling 773-325-1700 or go online to mercurytheater.com. Jim is going to the theater, and Greg, let me find something for you as well. We're going to give you a $25 Lou Malnati's gift card. You can go to one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumelnatis.com. It's the home of Chicago's best deep-dish pizza. So, Jim, Greg, thank you for playing. Jim, well done. Well done.
I thought you were going to send me a dictionary. Thank you.
No, Greg, listen. I'm not. You did a fine job as well. Spelling is not for everybody. That's why we have assistants and dictionaries and spell check.
Yes.
All right. Take care, guys. Sean will get, I think Sean's got all your stuff, doesn't he? All right. Then we'll just do that. Thank you very much. And let me see. We got a, and we can do that. You can take care of the phone, Sean. Should we do another one? Should we do a short round? Yeah, why not? If you want to be a caller, 2 and 3, 312-981-7200. We'll do a short round, a little more spelling. It's fun. And I've got some more prizes to give away, so why not? 312-981-7200. If you get in, if you're caller 1 and caller 3, you can play the second round of the arcade here on WGN. Learn how real Chicagoans live, the day-to-day struggles and successes with health.
Game on!
Game on!
Time to play the game!
Oh, yes, we open the Sunday Night Arcade on the holidays, because why not? We have a prize closet. We like to empty it out, and no time better. Since I can't offer deep discounts for a Memorial Day sale, I have no mattresses. I have no sheets and towels to do. I don't have a car lot where I can offer deep, deep discounts. So the best way I can do that is to give you a prize. And we are doing, in honor of the National Spelling Bee that happened this week, we are doing spelling words, study words for 7th graders from the National Spelling Bee. If you didn't get through to play along with us on the air, test your spelling knowledge against our players, who we will meet right now. Mansoor is on the south side. Am I pronouncing that correct, Mansoor?
Yes.
Ah, congratulations. Or congratulations to me for not being an idiot. What do you do for a living, Mansoor?
I'm sorry?
What do you do for a living?
I'm an Uber driver.
Oh, very nice. And do you have to do a lot of spelling? Are you a good speller?
I think I am, yes.
All right. Well, we'll find out, because you are going up against Nan, who is in River Grove. Hello, Nan. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Brian.
And what do you do, Nan?
Well, I am a professional gardener and a shiatsu practitioner. How about that?
Wow. A professional gardener and shiatsu practitioner.
There you go.
See, and when I garden, I need a shiatsu. Or some sort of massage.
I'll bet you do.
What is the difference? What makes shiatsu massage different from other massages?
Well, shiatsu is based on Chinese medicine. So we work with the acupuncture meridians, the channels that acupuncturists use. And so it's more therapeutically based. And it's done, you're fully clothed. So
I'm out.
Don't you, you're out.
I'm out. No, I'm kidding. Do you do a lot of spelling when you're massaging people, Nan?
I do.
All right, excellent. Well, good. So, Mansoor, Nan, here is how it's going to work. I am going to give you a word from the National Spelling Bee Study Words for 7th Graders list. If you spell it correctly, you will get a point. If not, your opponent will get a chance to steal. And we've got a very short time, so whoever is leading when time runs out will be our winner. Does everybody understand the rules? Mansoor, Nan, are you ready to play the game?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Let's get started. We flip it. And Mansoor goes first. Here we go, Mansoor. Your word, contentious. Contentious.
C-O-N-T-E-N-T-I-O-U-S.
Contentious.
Good job. Keep up the good work.
Is correct. Way to start things off. All right, Nan, no pressure. We come to you. Machination. Machination.
Machination, M-A-C-H-I-N-A-T-I-O-N.
That is correct.
That is correct.
Wow.
Roger, look at that.
Off to a roaring start here after one round, one apiece.
Very nice. Very nice indeed. All right, we come back to Mansoor, our limo driver on the south side, and your word is buoyancy. buoyancy?
B-O-U-N-C-E-Y.
Wrong! Well, that seemed a little harsh, but no, that is incorrect. Incorrect. That means, Nan, you get a chance to steal. The word is buoyancy.
Okay, buoyancy. B-U-O-Y-A-N-C-Y.
That is correct.
Nan, wow. With the steal. We stay with Nan. This is her round, and we give you the word porcelain. Porcelain.
Porcelain. P-O-R-C-E-L-A-I-N. Porcelain.
Porcelain.
Yes. Very good.
And you know what else? I like that Nan does it the official way. She says the word when she's done spelling it. Now,
exactly.
That's not a requirement in this game, but it's just I appreciate it. All right, Roger, we have finished another round. Holy cow.
Yeah, two rounds, and Nan has jumped to a 3-1 lead over Mansoor.
All right, Mansoor, we're back to you. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go, sir. Methodology. Methodology.
M-E-T-H-O-D. O-L-O-G-Y.
Methodology. That is correct. Oh, my goodness, though. I'm looking at the time, and we are out of time. Out of time. Roger, we did not get to finish this round, but where do we? I know. I was looking for my, I did not have my official horn to blow, but unfortunately, we are done. So can you give us, please, the final score?
Yes, I can. With 3 correct spellings, Nan wins the round over Mansoor, who had 2 correct spellings.
Very close game. Good match. Nan, congratulations on the big win. Mansoor, a wonderful, valiant effort. Let me tell you both what you have won, because everybody's a winner here on the Sunday Night Arcade. Nan, do you like the theater?
Love it.
Sure you do. You're going to go see The Producers. It's playing now through June 26th at the Mercury Theater Chicago. They're featuring a riotous mix, they say, of eccentric characters and show-stopping songs. It's a spoof on the big old-fashioned Broadway musical. Everybody else needs to get their tickets by calling 773-325-1700 or going online to mercurytheaterchicago.com, but not Nan, because we're going to send her a pair of tickets. And Mansoor, I know you get hungry driving people around in that limousine because you're taking them to all kind of fancy places. We're going to send you something fancy. You're going to get a $25 Lou Malnati gift card. They are the home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. You can find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Well, congratulations again, Nan, on the win. And Mansoor, thank you for playing our game. And there you go. Little spelling bee action. Little
Very
Sunday
good.
Night Arcade. Now, we'll see. Usually, we haven't done this in a long time. We usually only do it on the holidays. So we'll see what happens if we're here the next holiday. It's always fun. I miss the overnight arcade.
I do, too.
But it's fun to do it every once in a while. And our players were great today, so thank you to all of them. We'll do this, and then I will ruin public pools for you for the rest of your life, probably. We'll do that after the news on 720 WGN. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. Usually, I'm telling you at this point that Karen Conti will be here in a half hour, and she'll be answering your legal questions. Karen is off tonight. She is out of town for the holiday weekend, so she will not be joining us. Now, I will answer your legal questions, but it is horrible if
Just
you follow
not,
my advice.
Not the same, really.
No, it's not, because I don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to legal advice. I'll give you my advice. You can couch it as legal advice, but I make no guarantees, and you accept my advice at your own risk. There is no liability here. I don't present myself as an attorney. I present myself as a guy who's just going to give you whatever advice pops into my little head with no basis of the law. Or we could just skip it and do some other things, which I think is what we will do. Today is the official start of summer. Did the beaches open today?
They opened Friday.
They opened Friday. So yeah. The beaches are open. People go into the beach. And then I heard you. See, I'm about to do a story on pools. Then I hear you do a report about lakes and rivers and some algae that is going to come up and cover you and turn you into like a frozen Harrison Ford.
Something like that, yeah.
Something like a carbonite. What's going on with this algae?
It's going to bond with you and become a
and
sentient being.
And not in a fun
being.
Way. Not,
right.
Not in a way like,
no.
Hey, let's bond. Sit down, have a cup of coffee, talk to your friends, get to know each other's deepest fears. No, it's not going to. It's going to bond to you. How?
Well, it could.
Don't panic now. We need the information.
It can cause illnesses. Doesn't explain exactly what type of illnesses. Apparently, it's a fast-growing algae. And they call it cyanobacteria. Here's the spelling again.
Let me try.
Okay.
Cyano, C-Y-A-N-O.
Mm-hmm.
Bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go just a traditional spelling.
Okay.
On bacteria.
All right. Sounds good. And you would be ding, 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 ding. Correct.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Now, see, cayenne, I'm thinking of a hot pepper, but I'm guessing it's not the same.
No, it's not
with
that one. Cayenne as in the color.
Oh, oh.
So C-Y-A-N. It's that color. Yeah. Well, it's a blue-green algae blooms. So
we got to watch out for algae in rivers and lakes.
All right.
Now, have there been reports of it in local rivers and lakes?
Around our area, I'm not
local.
Sure. We don't have the full details on it, but the Illinois EPA and Department of Health apparently are quite aware of this because they're issuing the warning.
And people love to be on the water. I love to be on the water. Mm-hmm. I also love going swimming. I really enjoy being in a pool.
It's great.
And I know the city still, despite having no money, they're still opening their pools, which is great for the kids in the neighborhood. Got to do that. And when I was a kid, we didn't have a pool, but there was like a community pool kind of thing. You bought a membership, and we would go there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there, my brothers and I, every day. We would go there all day. I loved being in the pool. And now, thanks to the folks at Red Eye, I am never going in a pool again.
Oh,
now,
man.
We've all heard, come on, we've all, you always know to stay out of the kiddie pool.
Mm-hmm.
No, you got to stay out of every pool. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control, who put their buzzkills. You know, they always got something going on, I guess, because that's their deal. They deal with diseases.
Yeah, they think everything's going to hurt you.
The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention released its annual Poop in the Pool report just in time for the Memorial Day weekends. Yes, I wish I were making this up. Again, don't shoot the messenger.
Right, right.
Just, you know,
right.
I'm just passing this along.
Right.
Nothing says summer like being forced to think about swimming in a vat of, stuff. Mm-hmm. Swimming pools and venues offer space and leisure. Let's see. Of the 48,632 water venues inspected in 2013 in Arizona, California, Florida, New York, and Texas, including public pools, hot tubs, and water playgrounds, nearly 80% were found to have at least one safety or hygiene violation, according to the report. 12.3% of these sites were closed immediately after inspection because of serious health and safety violations. This is horrifying. And we've all felt the urge when you're in the pool. But once you're past 2 years old, you know you got to get out of the pool.
Right.
Because nobody wants to swim in your toilet. And I know there's people who think, well, doesn't the chlorine kill it? No, not all of it. No, not really.
And that's still not an excuse.
Of course it's not. No. Laziness is not an excuse, but the fact that you think you could do that in a pool and swim away and it's not going to affect anyone is gross, because three of the most common violations found among the pools inspected were improper water pH balance, safety equipment, and disinfectant concentration.
Ooh.
I know. It's horrifying. Chlorine is the primary barrier put in pool waters to combat pathogens, so a proper pH balance ensures that there is more of the chemical in the water to counteract any pathogens and keep the water safe. But human waste can disrupt this balance and contaminate the water, according to the report. Really? We needed an official report to tell us that you shouldn't pee in the pool? Because no matter, I don't care how much chlorine, you could have a pool full of just chlorine.
Right.
And I still don't want you peeing in the pool. And I always believed, and I know it's an urban legend, but I wish they did have the stuff where the water around you would turn a different color.
I've heard those stories. Yeah,
we've all heard that story.
Yeah.
It can't be true. Not that I've tested it out in every pool I've ever been in.
Right.
Because that would be horrifying.
And how would you know? I mean,
how would I know what?
That someone, even without the coloring, that someone did something.
Without the coloring, you wouldn't know.
Yeah.
But if there was coloring, if there was some sort of
some way that it becomes a dye or something in the water that doesn't, it's not toxic, a dye that would change color. It would be clear and change color once
that would be great.
Your stuff hit it.
Some sort of, some sort of pH imbalance.
Yeah.
Or pH imbalance.
Yeah, right.
In another study conducted by the CDC, the CDC loves this kind of stuff. They live for this, to just freak people out. Now, I'm wondering how people combat this, the people who have their own pools. I wonder how you combat this. Because I know everybody doesn't bring in like professionals to clean their pool every week. A lot of people who have pools in ground, above ground, whatever you have, the little blue plastic ones from Target, whatever kind of pool you have to clean it, don't you?
Well, it's not just to clean, but the sunlight interacting with the water all day long.
Right, then you get that
changes
cayenne
the chemicals.
Algae.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you turn blue or something.
My old neighbor had a pool put in, and he was constantly having to work on that thing. But it seems like a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also one of those great ideas that comes with a lot of hassle, I would think. You know?
Well,
the upkeep.
Yeah. Just like anything, requires maintenance.
Yeah. All right, here's the other study. 58% of pool filter samples tested were positive for E. coli, a bacteria normally found in our own guts and our, dookie. Here is what the CDC said in last summer's pool safety report. And again, don't shoot the messenger. What you smell in a pool are actually chemicals that form when chlorine mixes with, this is their words. This is an actual government agency. Pee, poop, and sweat, or dirt from a swimmer's body. These chemicals, not chlorine, can cause your eyes to get red and sting, make your nose run, and make you cough. All right. I've ruined summer for everyone, haven't I?
I think you have.
But is it my fault? Wouldn't you rather know? I guess you could wear goggles. Well, that's one thing.
See, here's the other thing, this kind of popped up the other night in discussion about politics.
Hold on, people, use
your brains.
We could say that about just about any story that we ever
on
this program. And that's
when you jump into a pool, understand that there might be things in there.
But there shouldn't be. Let's take one step back from your theory.
All right.
I will agree with your initial premise. People need to use their brains.
Right.
Okay. Unless you are an infant who cannot control their bladder, you should not be releasing into a pool. It's not funny. It's not fun. I don't care if you're,
And it's not convenient. Shouldn't be.
It is convenient. That's unfortunate.
But it shouldn't be. That's why, yeah.
No, I don't care how convenient it is. Drag yourself out of the pool.
But I don't like how I look when I'm wet.
I don't care. Drag yourself out of the pool. Wrap yourself in a towel and walk. Don't run on the pool deck. It's very slippery.
Yeah.
Walk to the nearest restroom. And then shower, then jump in the shower because there's always a shower in the
bathroom.
Use
the soap.
Something. It's because that's just gross. And then you think about how many times you've been in pools. And I know hotels and public pools, they do their best, but it's still in there. Think about how many times you've been in one. I think maybe it's better not to think about it.
But,
I don't know why.
But then have you ever been in those pools? At hotels, whatever, where they really don't maintain it properly because you can tell by the amount of chlorine they're pumping into it.
Well, those are the pools I either, I'll eyeball them, and sometimes they look cloudy. Like, if a pool's cloudy, I don't go in. If the pool looks like it's been used as a deep fryer and there's just a layer of grease kind of on top of it, I don't go in.
But they're the ones where the water is crystal clear and everything looks fine. But that's because they're pumping all this chlorine to kill whatever might get in there. And you dive in and your eyeballs pop out of your head because there's just too much.
Because the public is filthy. That's the problem. As a human race, we are just disgusting. But now, according to this, it's the chemicals, not the chlorine, that cause your eyes to get red. So it's the chemicals that form when the chlorine is mixing with all the goo. So if everybody's own juices aren't in the water, then that's not going to mess with your eyes. They just put the chlorine in, and that takes care of it. So it's the reaction of the chlorine with everything else that's in the water that is messing with your eyes.
Oh, gosh. Now, remember what you warned us all about at the beginning of this item? You were warning that we will never be in pools again, right?
Right.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, that's fine.
You're welcome.
Because you know what? It's all part of my diabolical plan. Because if I have scared everyone else out of the pool, I know I could go in the pool because, people haven't been just using it as their own,
It'll be nice and clean when you come to it.
Sure. Nice 82-degree toilet. I don't need that. Just because it feels good to be in the water, I don't want to be swimming around in your goo. So cut it out. And again, maybe get some goggles, earplugs, nose plug, nose clip.
Yeah.
I always used to love the kids who would go to the pool with all that gear on.
A snorkel.
Yeah, the not the snorkel, because God forbid that goes, you suck some in, it goes right in. Oh, man. And then it's in your mouth. Ugh. The whole thing is just vile. Vile.
How about some swim fins? Ooh, flotation color.
Well, that's not going to protect you from chemicals. That's just for fun. Swim fins and
floaties.
Well,
yeah, but you'll also just kind of float on the surface. You won't, like, get your whole body immersed down underneath.
What are you, like, what are these women who don't want to get their hairdo wet?
Yep.
You've all seen that at the pool, too. Yeah.
Do the breaststroke.
Oh, I just have to stay. I can't get my head under the water. Yeah. You're in a pool. Nope, I just have my hair did. I cannot get in the water. Really? Get your hair did and you can't get it wet? No. I paid a lot for this bouffant. I cannot. It'll fall over the minute water hits it. It's not water resistant. Everything will just fall apart. And I'm thinking, then why are you going in the water? Why are you going to risk it? Because the minute somebody tells me they can't get their hair wet, yeah, I want to splash them because I'm a juvenile. All right, let's do this. Sean's yelling at me. We got to do this and get him off my back, and then we'll do some more. It's WGN. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. As I mentioned earlier, Karen Conti will not be with us tonight. She is taking the night off, out of town for the holiday weekend. We'll have Karen back with us next Sunday night. So if you're in a real legal jam, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Call another lawyer. But Karen will be back next week. So if it can hold off till then, by all means, call back. Tomorrow is, of course, Memorial Day. In honor of Memorial Day, WGN Radio has released a series of videos highlighting our behind-the-scenes access to Marine boot camp at the Marine Corps Recruit Depot in San Diego. One of those videos is The Crucible. It's been viewed more than 80,000 times. Crucible shows the final challenge that recruits must compete in order to become a Marine, carrying 60 pounds of gear over 48 miles within 54 hours with 6 hours of sleep and only 2 meals. At the end of the challenge is the emotional Eagle, Globe, and Anchor ceremony that marks the transformation into a Marine. You can watch The Crucible and see the entire video series online at WGNradio.com/Marines. I can't imagine doing anything like that. Anybody in any of the armed services, because I know everybody's got their own basic training and those sorts of things. So it is wonderful. Go check that out. Someone I know, their son just graduated from college and went into the Marine officer cadet school or officer training.
Training school, yeah.
Yeah, OCS. So good luck to him and everybody who is in the and another friend of mine from college, she's posting pictures. Her son just finished boot camp.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, a lot of people going into the armed forces, which is wonderful. And again, tomorrow we remember the people who went into the armed forces and unfortunately did not get out. So paid the, and it always sounds cliche, and I don't mean it to sound cliche when you pay the ultimate sacrifice, or made the ultimate sacrifice. And that is, I mean, we all die, we know that, but when you die in service of others, there's something that should be honored about that.
Yeah.
So, and I was surprised in my neighborhood, I know tomorrow is the actual day.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not, you know, some jingoistic Toby Keith, I'm all put a boot up your whatever kind of guy. But I do try to put the flag out on days like, days like this. So I put my flag out today, and not too many in the neighborhood. I'm hoping tomorrow there's more. Hoping we see some more tomorrow.
I used to have one out every day.
Yeah?
It was in the back on my little veranda.
Oh, look at you fancy with a veranda.
Yeah.
Look at you.
And I had it high up. I mean, I attached it to the wall. But I put it up high so that you'd have to stand up on the bench or something to unfurl it or to fix it or whatever. And at least once a week, I would come home from work or something, and somebody had taken the flag and ripped a corner and stuck it. I had a little eagle's wings at the very end and stuck it up there, or had wound it around and tied it. Now, the flag was not
big. Was it making a big flapping sound? How big is your flag?
It was not that big, and it was when the bottom of the flag would never touch someone's head walking by. In fact, it was over the bench that we have on the veranda.
Okay.
And
again, with the veranda. Really bragging.
Sorry. Yes, we have it on the veranda.
You mean your little porch?
Yes.
All right.
And
so wait, somebody every day,
yeah,
someone would.
Every week.
Every week they would move your flag.
I would find it. Someone would get up there and do something to it. And we don't have cameras around. This is obviously at night. I'm inside relaxing, enjoying myself. I don't hear what's going on out there. It really upset me. Now we don't have a flag anymore. Because, again, you can't have nice things around certain people.
Who is going to mess with the American flag? What kind of building are you living
in?
Did you call them out?
Who am I going to call out?
Well, how many people live there? What, do you live in a 58 flat?
There would be at least four families that I could have approached.
All right.
And then it would have been my word against them.
Oh, man. Unbelievable. Leave people's flags alone. Now, I still... Is it still the law? There's not a law. It's flag rules. I always bring mine in at night because I don't want to leave the porch light on.
Well, you're supposed to have it illuminated.
Right.
Yeah, if it's out in the dark.
There's a block. Right. It's two blocks from me. And the whole block, they do this thing where every house has an American flag in the yard. And they somehow, I've got to find where they got these. They're little solar-powered spotlights.
Yeah.
So they're attached to the flag. It's one of those, you know, like a camping flagpole that you just stick in the ground, and the flags are out in their yard. And they have these little solar-powered spotlights clipped to the pole so that they can illuminate their flags at night, which I think is very...
Probably get it in any hardware store.
Probably.
I used to have some of those.
Do you? And
yeah.
The block looks really cool. They do it because they've been having a block party for like 50-some years. It's crazy.
Oh, very nice.
But it's a beautiful sight as you come down this block, and all of a sudden... Every house on both sides of the street has a flag in front of it.
Very
it's really cool.
Cool.
Yeah, I like that. So that's tomorrow. That's Memorial Day. Speaking of tomorrow, I will be in for Rokan tomorrow and Anna DeVellante. She's not there, too. So I'll be in for Ro and Anna tomorrow and Friday. So if you're around your radio from 3 to 7, be sure to tune in. Lots of fun, lots of conversation, and always a good time in for Ro and Anna. So I'm looking forward to that. Now, I just to clarify, OCS is Officer Candidate School. A Marine has texted in. Hoorah was the text. Officer Candidate School, so very good. And a theory on the women who do not get their hair wet in the pool. Texter from the 414, I believe the ladies who go in the water and don't get their hair wet are the ones who are going to the bathroom in the pool. I don't know. Just a theory from the 414. You never know. It could be correct. You know? Correct. All right, we've got to get into this. Oh, but we're almost out of time. You know what? We'll get into it after. We're going to talk about prom. We're going to talk about, some guy who got in a fight with himself. A lot to get to in the final hour of the big broadcast. We'll do it all after this on WGN. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN, hour 3 of the big broadcast. Oh, my goodness. Yes, usually at this time I am telling you that Karen Conti is here with us and she will be answering your legal questions. However, because of the holiday, Karen is out of town enjoying a few days off, which she has earned for sure. She'll be back with us again next Sunday night. So if you have a pressing legal matter, I could try to help you, or you could just wait till next Sunday. And Karen will be on, of course, Wednesday morning with Steve Cochran at 6:40 as well. So you can always hear her then, or email her at kconti@kcontilaw.com. So there you go. We'll get Karen's plug in. This is my favorite time because usually, up until this time of year, it's dark by now. Well, now Michigan Avenue, because the holiday is still bustling. It's still light out. Summer is almost here. I spent the weekend doing stuff around the yard. I don't have a veranda like you do, Roger. Somebody said you're too fancy for a lanai. That was the one of the texts. Yeah, I don't have a lanai either. Yeah. Or either. I like to say either.
Either?
No, I'm not fancy.
Okay.
I say either.
Okay.
But anyway, so yeah, the yard's getting done. Now I just have to figure out how to keep... how to fill in the holes that the dogs have dug. Does Rufus dig like a lunatic?
No. He's a house dog because we don't have a backyard.
What, do you make him dress like a butler?
Yes.
Bring you things? Well, he goes out. I mean, you take him out.
We take him out three times a day. But because he doesn't really get along well with other dogs, we can't take him to the park and let him kind of run around a little bit.
See, that's funny. I'm hearing a lot of people I know who have dogs that don't get along well with other dogs.
Yeah. I don't know why. He will try to attack. He will pull. He will bark. He will. But he's the most gentlest, wonderful. I love humans dog in
really?
The world.
Well, that's all you need. I mean, you want.
Yeah.
You'd rather have him that way.
Yeah.
I love other dogs. I hate humans, especially this one with the beard who feeds me.
Yeah.
I despise him to no end.
Actually, I'm the alpha dog in the house.
Oh, I am too. That's why
oh, yeah.
my Sure. When I was gone, my wife said that the dogs all slept in the bedroom with her because they were freaked out that I wasn't there.
Yeah.
And they'll listen to me. They don't really listen
to
her.
Right. Exactly.
But the big dog comes home, stuff's getting done. Yeah. It's the only place that I am in charge. So I listen. I take full advantage
of it. You got to have something.
Nobody else listens to me. Nowhere else am I the alpha dog. So if it's myself and the two dogs in the little pack, and I'm the boss, I'm going to use it.
Yes.
This is a time of year where people are shelling out way too much money for their kids to go to an overrated dance and make lasting memories, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, come on. You went to yours, didn't you?
Sure. It was useless.
Oh,
I had a horrible time.
Please.
Horrible time. I've told this story. I broke up with the girl I was dating a week before prom. How dumb was that? And then I still went to prom and dropped all that money.
Yeah.
But I know, I remember when my daughter went to prom. We did drop a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
She spent money that she had made, too. But, you know, parents pick up some of the tab.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you have a girl, it's the dress. And I know guys have to rent a tux, which is a lot more expensive than when we used to have to rent tuxes.
True.
Now it's a couple $100 to rent a tux.
And nowadays, they all try to either be so outlandishly different from everyone else that it's real expensive, or...
Sure, they have to accessorize.
Right.
Got to accessorize.
Or if they've been together with their date for a while, then they try to match.
Ugh.
So now that's a specialized outfit, too, for the guys.
Yeah, we used to always have to match the flowers to the dress. You'd have to, what color dress are you wearing? And then you'd go to the floors and go, she's wearing purple. And the floors would, come up with a nosegay. Do they make nosegays anymore? That's what we used to call.
I don't know.
You know, the little...
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know if they do it anymore.
Nosegay. I don't know what kids wear. Do they wear the wrist corsages? I think that's what my daughter got a wrist corsage.
Wow. You know, I'm trying to go back in my mind of recent prom pictures I've seen of some of my former students and stuff like that.
I don't see flowers
in the pictures. I don't see them anymore, no.
Yeah, I don't even see boutonnieres on the guys.
Oh, no, never. Never.
Which is a mistake. Guys, anytime you can pin a flower to yourself, do it.
Yeah, sure.
Louis the Lilac from Batman. You gotta wear a flower. If you can wear a flower, do it. You know, but maybe flowers are not the thing. 312-981-7200. The reason I brought up prom is we're going to get into a little history, a little timeline of prom and how it's changed through the century. But it also is a time where I'm seeing a lot of people that I know post pictures of their kids going to prom and stuff. And I'm not poo-pooing it.
Mm-hmm.
Go and have fun. But the amount of money now that is being spent not only on the prom itself, but the promposals, which comes up. Promposals where you have to.
Okay.
You can't just walk up to somebody and say, hey, you know what? I kind of like you. Would you like to go to prom? No. Now you have to get a skywriter, or you have to get a horse, and you have to, I don't know what you
or
you have
a projector
to
on the side of a house I've seen.
Yes, I've seen pictures of, covering somebody's entire car with post-it notes that spell out prom with a question mark.
Yeah.
At that point, it's like, oh, my God, really? But the kids are comparing it. So if you just get asked, like if you're a young lady who just gets asked to the prom, oh, my, how embarrassing is that?
Yeah.
What kind of boy are you going to prom with? He just had the audacity to come up and ask you. Weird.
Yeah.
Everything has to be a spectacle.
Like you're asking him to marry you.
No, and then, what kind of spectacle are you? You know, what'd you do? You walk up. Hey, want to get married? No, I mean, I had when I asked my wife to marry me.
Yeah.
I had roses and the ring, and I did have a little. I had made a little banner that said, "Will you marry me?" And I had it hanging when she got there. But that's different. I mean, I was entering into. I wasn't asking somebody to go to a dance.
Right.
I think I'm trying now. It's been a long time since I went to prom. But I believe I just went up to the girl I was dating and said, or had been dating. Or I asked her before we broke up.
Right.
But I was like, hey, you want to go to prom? Or I might have even said, we're going to prom, right? Because if you're dating, you just assume you're going to prom. I didn't have to build, a huge thing out of Legos and have it animated. I didn't have to hire a bear to come in and dance with a little, accordion to make the thing. I just asked her. I took about the road trip. I took my daughter to California.
Right.
So we're driving around Hollywood, and we're coming back Laurel Canyon. We're going to cross over from Hollywood into the valley.
Okay.
And you know the big construction signs, that the temporary ones that come out and they, like, lane closed or up ahead, or they've got the arrow that's, lane merging.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody at the base of Laurel Canyon Drive had, Stephanie, will you go to prom with me?
Aww.
Flash.
That's first cute.
No, it's not. It's asinine. First of all, how often is Stephanie going to be driving up Laurel Canyon?
She probably takes that route every day.
You think a teenager is taking the route from Hollywood?
Well, sure, she's on the school bus. Maybe that's where the school bus goes.
Well, unless she goes to private school, it's a whole different district. Oh, you're going from Hollywood to the San Fernando Valley. It's not. It's like, oh my God, really? We got, and who in the L.A. roads department can be on the take to, you know?
Let it stay there, sure, or let him do that. Yeah,
let it slide and just have it blinking all day.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so I hope Stephanie's going to prom with whoever put the sign up.
Yeah.
Because you got to figure that's not
I hope it's the right Stephanie, too.
Right. Yeah, what if it's some other Stephanie? She's dating somebody who didn't even want to go to prom. It's like, there's not a chance I'm taking you to prom, Stephanie. You are. Oh, unbelievable. Yes, girls carry flowers with some feathers in the flowers or wrist flowers. Okay.
Oh,
I didn't know. I'm just saying, I always bought flowers.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them. Maybe they don't hold them in the pictures. Maybe that's just it. They don't. But I would think that's when you're holding them.
You have the full entourage in those official parent pictures, you know?
Yes.
Like, this is the one that we're going to frame and put up on the wall to embarrass you to all of our family and friends for the next 20 years.
Well, now, again, I did not... When I went to prom, I lived in the far south suburbs, and the girl I took to prom lived up at Hollywood and Lakeshore.
Up near me.
Yeah, big difference. So we didn't have one of these appointment schedules for pictures. I think her mom took a couple pictures when I picked her up.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was it. But now it's all these, you got to set an appointment because it's a big deal. And everybody gets together at one house. And so that way the parents can all get their pictures.
Right.
Because I think what happened was the parents of the boys felt that they were getting ripped off. Because I don't think my mom ever saw a prom picture.
Really?
Well, sure, because there's five boys. We never took pictures at the house. It was always you'd just get a picture taken at,
at the prom.
At your date's house.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Or maybe the prom picture, the official cheesy prom picture.
Right.
Flowering.
In front of a picture of the ocean or something.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Now, I didn't ask my date until like maybe 2 weeks before prom.
Really?
I actually hadn't made any plans to go to prom.
What changed your mind?
I don't know. I think it was pressure from everyone else going, and I'm thinking, well, I was a geek in high school anyway.
Fear of missing out?
No, I just felt like, I should go to prom maybe, you know?
I guess I should go to prom maybe.
I guess.
So who did you, was it a girl you had dated, or was it just some random?
We knew each other.
All right.
I'd been over to her house a number of times.
Yeah.
But she, you know, her father liked me, but we weren't dating.
So you went to prom.
And so I says, hey, you going to prom? And she says, no, I wasn't planning on it. I says, you want to go? She says, oh, yeah, okay, sure.
Man,
and
I'll tell you what, every romantic story you share, tops each other in its...
Well, I've told you about my wedding proposal.
Sure, in the bathroom. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Every time you ask somebody, every time you ask a woman for a big life decision, it tops the next one as being just
kind of like a second thought, like, oh, by the way, you doing anything next week?
Oh,
you know.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Cheaper to buy, this is somebody from the 773, cheaper to buy a classic tux than to rent a trendy tux, did it for... our son's senior dance, and he now wears it to pals' weddings. He gets it dry cleaned and everything. Yeah, I told you when I was hosting this MC in this big thing at the Irish American Heritage Center, it was cheaper to buy a tux than to rent one.
Yeah.
So now I'm a guy with a tux. All right, we've got to do a little business, and then we'll come back and we'll highlight some history of prom in the United States. We'll do it here on WGN. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. We're talking about prom. Are your kids, have they gone this year? Was there a promposal involved? A huge dramatic showing of love? I don't know. Oh, somebody texted in. I don't know we don't know the accuracy, but it sounds right. The roadside caution signs are an easy hack from any laptop wireless computer.
Wow.
I hope I did not witness some sort of illegal hacking. And not a statement of love and devotion when I was out in Los Angeles. But we'll see. And again, I can't follow up. I don't know who Stephanie is or if she... Because there was no name. It wasn't like, Stephanie, will you go to prom with me? Bob.
Right.
It was just out there.
So see, now, Stephanie, when you go back out, even though your daughter's going to drive back, right?
Yeah, but I'm not going back out. My wife's flying out and driving back.
Oh, okay, okay. So, well, you should bring have her bring the computer out and try it.
And try to hack a roadside sign?
That's
what I want to do. Encourage my wife
Thanks, L.A. See you later.
I've been encouraging them both to get arrested for hacking into some government sign. That's a good idea. Sure. Because I'll do so well on my own when they're both in the joint. That's not a recipe for disaster, me left on my own. All right, here's some highlights in the checkered history of prom in America. You're going to notice a theme, an unfortunate theme in some of this. In the 1920s, the Democratic debutante ball makes its high school debut. In theory, any student can attend a promenade, but teens of color are excluded thanks to Jim Crow and unequal access to education.
Of course.
In the 30s, with the Depression in full swing, some Chicago principals cancel prom to ensure poor students aren't psychologically wounded. I think they should do that now. Because no matter if you have a good time or not, you're always psychologically wounded after prom.
There's always an embarrassment of some kind.
In the 50s, during the post-war boom, one advice book offers a warning, quote, girls who try to usurp the right of boys to choose their own dates will ruin a good dating career, end quote. That, you know, you look back at those, like, dating books or advice books and the way they told women to act and girls to act. Mm-hmm. So this is basically it. What they were saying was, don't ask a boy. Let the boy ask you.
Right.
And if not, you will not be able to date. Completely wrong.
Yeah.
For the young ladies who are listening. In the 60s, despite the repeal of Jim Crow, white-only proms persist in the South. 1969, Jessica McClintock takes over dressmaker Gunn Sachs and becomes America's prom dress queen. Well, then.
Oh, that's how it was happening.
That's how it happened. Draping two decades of high school girls in Lega Mutton styles, marked by puffy sleeves and corset bodices. I don't know what any of the... I know what a corset bodice is,
right,
and I can picture what a puffy sleeve is. I've never heard the Lego mutton style for a prom dress.
No. Was that a slice of meat or something?
It is, and I guess that's why I was not allowed to go shopping for the prom dress with my daughter. It was just are we getting a Lego lamb? Are we getting a crown roast of pork dress? What are you getting? What kind of dress are you getting? Standing rib roast? 1974, in Stephen King's Carrie, a telekinetic outcast terrorizes her classmates at the prom. That was great.
Oh, great movie.
Oh, this was fun. First daughter Susan Ford, this is 1975, hosts prom at the White House.
Ooh.
Quote, I was told we had to choose a band that didn't have any kind of drug charge, end quote. One organizer later recalled, it was pretty hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, who are you getting to come? You got to figure, if you're the White House, you can hire a pretty good band to come do the prom there.
Wait, what year was that?
This was 75.
Hey, Barry Manilow. He was big then.
Sure, but do you think he had some sort of...
I don't know if he did.
Anybody. ABBA? Anybody.
Yeah.
South Sioux Falls, South Dakota gets in trouble in 1979. Police in Sioux Falls, South Dakota show up to protect the first openly gay couple in prom history. Many students came over and congratulated us. One of the boys said, despite threats to tar and chicken feather the pair. Oh, it's lovely. That's why high school is such a wonderful place.
Yeah.
1980, a Rhode Island senior sues his school after the principal rejects his request to bring a male prom date. Federal judge sides with the boy. In the 80s, of course, we all remember all the prom movies that Hollywood went crazy for. Valley Girl, Footloose, Back to the Future, and Pretty in Pink.
Mm-hmm.
All of those, sure, Pretty in Pink. My wife is a grown woman, fully grown.
Mm-hmm.
I got home the other night, and I look at the list like of things we've recorded. She recorded Pretty in Pink. Was watching Pretty
really?
In Pink. Yeah. It's like, all right.
Huh.
I don't know if I'm ducky or not. Probably not. 1997, actor Morgan Freeman offers to cover the cost of a prom in Charleston, Mississippi, as long as all races can attend. No such luck. The city's prom remains segregated for 11 more years. That's hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah, extremely.
It was 1997.
Yeah.
Not happening.
Yeah.
Let's see. 2013, a group of girls from Georgia's Wilcox County High School holds an all-inclusive prom, eschewing these segregated affairs. Oh, eschewing would have been a good spelling word on our
case. Yeah. The one I remembered now, because I knew there was a more recent one where the students held their own prom
right.
because the school wouldn't allow them to mix.
Right. It doesn't make sense. The school made it official in 2014. The adults should have done this many, many moons ago, noted one of the mothers of the girls. And then they talk about now how hot the promposal and the Instagram meme of promposals are. And they have a picture here. I don't know. These kids are out in the woods, and they're obviously shooting aficionados because tacked to the tree it says prom, yes or no, and under the yes there is a target, and under the no there is a target, and then the boy is standing behind the girl who is holding a rifle, and he's hugging her from behind as she holds a weapon.
What?
A rifle. Yeah. I got good aim, it says. Hashtag promposal. I don't know if I want to go to a date with a girl who's packing heat. And then somebody knew a cop. Because one of the pictures in this article is a ticket. St. Louis District Court. So this is an actual police officer pulled somebody over, and on the ticket it had her name, and then it said, "Will you go to prom with Seth?" So imagine if your daughter's driving along, and she gets pulled over. Now she's all panicky, and it's a joke. It's a promposal.
Right.
Unacceptable.
Yeah, Seth ain't going with her.
No, I'm not letting Seth. No, I'm not letting Seth take my kid to prom after that. Oh, my goodness. That's just crazy. Crazy, crazy.
It's creepy.
It is creepy. It's stalking.
Yes.
Just why, you know, if you want to go to prom with somebody, just walk up and ask them.
You're in school together?
Nah, maybe not. Oh. Maybe you're a delinquent. All right, let's do this, and then we'll have the news, and who knows what's going to happen in the last half hour. I do, but well, I'll tell you. I guess. Why not? Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. If you're tuning in to get a legal question answered from Karen Conti, she will be back with us next week. She's enjoying the holiday, as I hope you are as well. A lot of people off tomorrow. I will be here for Ro Khan and Anna DeVellante, so I hope you can join us sometime between 3 and 7 tomorrow. A lot to get to. All right, we've all been hearing about Zika and the Zika virus, and if you weren't already worried about mosquito bites and all the other, you know, now we're... every summer we have to panic about mosquitoes. Now we've got Zika and the horrible things that can happen if somebody contracts Zika, whether it's birth defects or adults getting sick. It's just a horrible thing. Well, Rio, if you believe the reports, Brazil and Rio de Janeiro are one of the hot spots for the Zika virus, for the outbreak. And that, of course, is where the Olympics are going to be happening very soon, which I guess I had forgotten about the Olympics, quite frankly. You don't hear about it. We don't think about it much. Once Chicago lost out on the bid, think about it. These were the Olympics we would have been having here.
Yeah.
Imagine, in hindsight, I know it was a lot of people were very upset when we didn't get the Olympics, but looking at the financial state that this city and this state is in now, it worked out that we didn't get them.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
You know? Would it have been cool? Sure, but look at all the fighting that's going on about the Lucas Museum. Imagine the fighting that would have gone on for the venues that would have had to be constructed even temporarily for the Olympics.
Not only that, this is a huge metropolitan city that already has enough traffic problems.
Oh, it would have been a complete nightmare.
Yeah.
I would have probably tried to leave town for the Olympics because there's no way, like you said, we can't get around now.
Yeah.
So I was when Chicago was vying for them, there was a part of me that really hoped we would get them because I think it would be very cool. But that doesn't mean I have to participate. I can think it's great and leave town, rent out my house to some Nigerian marathoners.
I do remember, and I'm going to have to look this up because the older I get, the less I remember. But when I was very young, maybe five-ish.
When I was very young.
We sponsored, Chicago sponsored, the Pan American Games.
Okay.
And I remember a lot of stuff happening at Soldier Field.
Right.
And my parents took me down there. And again, I can't remember what it was, but flags all over. And it was great. And I'm going to have to look it up because every, 10 years I say, I remember going to this thing and I can't remember.
Something.
Yeah.
Maybe you just watched a football game on TV. You know, you're very old.
There might have been. Yeah, that's true. But there were no traffic problems. I don't remember any being reported.
Yeah.
Crime, of course, back then, very low.
Let's not bring that up again. Right? Oh,
but see, no. If we had the Olympics, what do you think would have happened to the crime problem?
I don't know. I think in certain areas, the crime would have been...
there'd have been a much bigger focus on tamping that down.
Exactly. I
Just like when there's any big event.
Conventions and stuff,
And last year when there were the groups of teens who were doing stuff on Michigan Avenue.
Right.
That stuff got handled pretty quick.
Yep.
So, all right, but anyway,
okay.
So back to the Olympics and back to the Zika virus. The World Health Organization is rejecting calls by scientists to postpone the Rio Olympics. Now, a couple of weeks ago, scientists were coming out saying, listen, the games should be rescheduled, the venue should be changed, something should happen. Perhaps, you know, countries should not send their athletes because they were saying that at this point, again, a couple of weeks ago, that it was going to lead to a pandemic, a worldwide pandemic, because of all the people coming to Brazil from around the world. There was a chance that they could be infected by the Zika virus and then take it back to wherever the far-flung reaches of the globe that they're going to, and suddenly the entire world would have the Zika virus. Well, the World Health Organization is saying, hold on. And yesterday they rejected a call from 150 health experts to consider postponing or moving the Rio Summer Olympics due to the Zika virus in hard-hit Brazil, arguing that the shift would make no significant difference to the spread of the virus. Now, a couple weeks ago, I was thinking, if it's going to be that bad, for the safety of the athletes, do you, as the United States, say, you know what, until you can make enough of an effort to ensure the safety and health of our athletes, we're not going to go. I mean, there's already, listen, this is going to be a nightmare Olympics to see anyway, if you are to believe the reports. First of all, the government in Brazil is completely falling apart. Then there's reports of all sorts of what we talked about being in the pools. It's all over the waterways down there. And there's a lot of stuff going on. So I thought it would be a good idea. Now, it would be awful for the athletes who have made unbelievable sacrifices to train and to qualify and to be ready to go to the Olympics. However, at some point, does safety trump that? Well, now who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe these scientists or are you going to believe the World Health Organization? They declared that the spread of Zika in the Americas, a global emergency in February. They said in a statement that there is no public health justification for postponing or canceling the 2016 Games. Now, in an open letter to the WHO Director General, experts from over two dozen countries in fields including public health, bioethics, and pediatrics, among them, the former White House science advisor, called for the Rio Games to be delayed or relocated, though not canceled, in the name of public health. 312-981-7200. Where do you come down on this? Because as I said, I think if you can't ensure the health and safety of the athletes, maybe it's incumbent upon the U.S. to look at saying, we can't in good conscience send our people down there. Because no matter how much they've worked, no matter how much sacrifice they've made, their health and safety is more important. So that means you're falling on the side of all these scientists from all these countries. Or do you go with the UN's organization, the World Health Organization, that says, listen, it's not going to make a big difference. You can have it there, you not have it there, it's fine. Now, the letter from these scientists cited scientific evidence, which you know I value, saying that the Zika virus causes severe birth defects. We know that. In adults, it can cause neurological problems. The authors also noted that despite increased efforts to wipe out mosquitoes that spread the virus, the number of infections in Rio de Janeiro has gone up rather than down. Nothing's going on. But this is what the World Health Organization said. Based on the current assessment of the Zika virus circulating in almost 60 countries globally and 39 in the Americas, there is no public health justification for postponing or canceling the games. The World Health Organization will continue to monitor the situation and update our advice as necessary. Well, when would you make that decision? You know, you can't wait till August 3rd when the athletes are on their way and everybody's covered with off, with DEET. That's what they should be giving out. I'll tell you what they're giving out a lot of.
Yeah.
What's the Olympic event for covering yourself head to toe with mosquito repellent? I guess if you're in an indoor event, you don't really worry about it, but you have to go outside.
Well, of course you have to worry about it. Those mosquitoes go everywhere.
Mosquitoes are everywhere. There's holes in screens. I just, oh, man. I don't know.
The agency did say they are standing by their initial advice urging pregnant women not to travel to areas with Zika. So we know there are not a lot of pregnant athletes, none, probably, but there are spectators who are going to go. But again, the scientists are saying this is wrong. The scientists are saying you have to stop this. And the World Health Organization is saying no. Who do you believe? I don't know. From the 847, too many bribes have changed hands to cancel the Olympics. That does seem to be a common belief that the IOC and other people exchange money. There's got to be something going on, but I don't know for a fact. So who knows about that? But there you go. Are you willing? Would you be willing? If you were, and the athletes are all going to say yes, they're going to go. You know, I would imagine to the person, you ask any U.S. Olympic athlete if they're willing to take the risk, and they're going to say yes. They're going to figure out some way to try to protect themselves from the mosquito bites, and they'll go down and risk it. And you can understand that. It's just like any professional athlete. And I know you could say, well, Olympic athletes are professional. You know what I'm saying. Athletes want to play. They want to be on the field. If you've trained your whole life for a moment, and then all of a sudden that moment is taken away from you, it would be awful. And if you're given the chance or given the choice,
yeah,
you're gonna make the choice to play.
For a lot of the athletes, it's a once in a lifetime event. They don't go back to the next Olympics.
Yeah,
or they've never been yet before. Yeah,
right. And it's a tough thing.
Yeah.
Let's go to Dave. He's in Racine. Hi, Dave.
Greetings and salutations.
Thank you.
Well, just kind of interesting, the comparing and contrasting how, with the evidence of the Zika virus being spread and such, the UN agency, the World Health Organization, sees no reason to impose draconian sanctions upon the Olympics, you know, saying, don't go.
Right.
Yet, for something that is really dubious, the belief in man-made climate change, which every prediction has been wrong, the UN is insisting that the United States bankrupt its economy with odious and draconian impositions upon our industry, use of fossil fuels and such, for what has been deemed dubious, reasons.
Right.
So therefore, I just find the comparing and contrasting the. Nothing to see here. I mean, what is the World Health Organization run by Murray Hamilton?
All right, Dave, thank you for the call. Let's do this, and then I'll tell you, they may not be passing out mosquito repellent, but I'll tell you what they are passing out to the Olympic athletes. We'll do that after this in WGN. All right, Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. Rick Kogan comes your way after the 9 o'clock news. We were talking about the Olympics. I've known in the past that the Olympics have done this, but it just seemed like there was the number is crazy. The athletes going to Rio for the 2016 Olympics are the organizers are distributing 450,000 condoms. 450,000 condoms, just to the athletes. That, according to a Brazilian newspaper report, in the interest of equality and variety, 100,000 of those will be female condoms, 175,000 lubricants will also be there. It's an Olympic record, which there'll be a lot of records shattered in the Olympics, one shattered right before that. It's the equivalent of 42 condoms per athlete. This article says, presuming the athletes are paired with one another and using only one per encounter, that's enough for 84 encounters. During the 2012 London Games, organizers handed out a third as many condoms, and only 100,000 condoms were given out at the 2014 Winter Games in Sochi. So there you go. While Brazil is in the midst of an outbreak of Zika, which we were talking about before, it can be sexually transmitted, so they are really pushing and promoting and talking about safe sex. Rio organizers did not comment to the newspaper about the condom deployment. The International Olympic Committee merely said the amount should be sufficient. Boy, that's an understatement, isn't it? Well, 450,000 condoms, that should be sufficient. I'm not sure, though. Might not be enough. Somebody might come up a little bit short. Since the 1992 games in Barcelona, dispensing free condoms has become a tradition to promote the prevention of AIDS. The supply must come in handy, according to this, given reports of all sorts of freewheeling activity in the Olympic Village. Olympians are a randy lot. They're in such good shape. And I remember reading that after the London Olympics, that they were saying, listen, these people are all in peak shape. And they're competing. They're attracted to each other. Everything is wonderful.
Yeah, but isn't there like a rumor or something, not being a professional athlete, that most professional athletes don't engage in that because they feel it will sap their energy?
Sure, but if you're at the Olympics and your events are done in the first couple days, then you're just partying for 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And you're partying with a lot of other really attractive, fit people.
Yeah, that's
true. And you're young. Who knows? Who knows what goes on in the Olympic Village?
Oh, man.
I know. You know, almost 500,000 condoms are going to be used, allegedly. So we'll see. Anybody ever tell you to look like a celebrity?
No.
No? No. I don't fashion myself or think of myself in as any sort of good-looking guy. Well, Ann wants to jump in on the Olympic thing. Hi, Ann.
Okay.
Ann? Hello.
Hi. I just had a comment on, number one, they worked on the water down in the Rio location over a year to try and clean it up. They cannot get it clean.
Right.
And all these people that could catch whatever down there are going to come back to this country with whatever they catch or pick up, and they don't even have an idea of what to do about the Zika virus. What are they going to do to prevent anything that they bring up other than the Zika virus back to the United States?
So what do you think we should do?
I don't think we should go.
All right. Well, it makes sense. I mean, I thought the same thing. And thanks for the call. Yeah, there's a lot of people who are thinking that. You know, how do you effectively prevent catching it? And you never can. We're never completely protected from diseases.
It's like trying not to catch a cold.
Right.
You know.
So you do your best, but you also don't then expose yourself to it. You don't go to places where you know people are sick. Anyway, back to the celebrity thing, and I only bring this up because you hear something once and you kind of blow it off, and then when you hear something twice within a couple of weeks, you go, wow, could that... So in the last 2 weeks, two people have told me that I look like Fred McMurray. Remember from My Three Sons?
Yeah.
Fred Douglas, Sean is nodding his head.
Oh, come on. You don't look like Fred McMurray.
I don't think so. I don't.
No.
I don't think so either. I'm looking at Fred
McMurray.
Not
even in the Blubber movies.
Wow, easy.
No, not.
Easy.
Flubber. I'm sorry, Shaw Flubber.
Shaw just said if he drove past me really fast, maybe. And it's both times it's been when I've been wearing a bow tie. I don't know if that has something to do with it.
No.
I know. I'm looking at pictures of Fred McMurray. Very attractive man. I don't see the resemblance.
He's tall.
Tall and a long face, and I have a long face. Equine, I guess some people would say. I got a big horse face. and his ears are similarly shaped. But after the shape of the ears, I don't see the... And this is the other thing. I've often wondered, because sometimes you'll meet someone, and you think they look like a... Like, I took that as a compliment. I got no problem with Fred McMurray. That's fine. But I've heard from people that it offends... Sometimes people get offended when you tell them they look like a celebrity, because perhaps they don't like that celebrity, and they think, oh, my God, really? I look like that? Like if you went up to a woman and went, wow, you look like just like Kim Kardashian. And you might mean it as a compliment, but she'd get all bent out of shape. Or if you tell a guy he looks, I don't know, who do you look like? Pick a celebrity, Fred McMurray. You know,
your jaw is more square than his is.
Sure,
he had a thinner jaw.
Is that right?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. It was just again. You hear it once and you kind of blow it off.
Right.
But to hear it twice in 2 weeks
from completely different people,
completely different walks of life.
Wow.
Never their twain shall meet.
Hey, you know what? You could be a stand-in. Call Walt Disney.
I think Fred McMurray's gone.
Oh, darn.
I don't think they're doing a My Three Sons. Maybe if they're doing a My Three Sons reboot,
they're rebooting everything else.
Sure, I could put on a cardigan and get a pipe. Chip, Ernie. What was the other one?
With the dog?
Bilbo, Chip, Ernie, and Bilbo. Were those the three sons?
Bilbo.
Chip, Ernie, and what were their names?
Uncle Charlie.
Uncle Fester.
No, not Uncle
Fester. He was in that movie, too? All right. Uncle Fester, Uncle Charlie.
No, not Uncle Fester.
Scrooge McDuck. They were all in the same thing. And then there was, oh, a kid's taking a picture of me. Yeah, I'm Fred McMurray. Hi, kid. and then it was Chip, Ernie, and what? Bucky?
No. No, that was the Winter Soldier.
Right. What was the third kid's name? Oh, I knew the minute. Thankfully, Chip, it looks like somebody's texting in.
Ernie.
Oh, now Rich from Brookfield texting in a picture. He thinks I do look like Fred McMurray.
Uh-oh.
According to another texter, several pro golfers are already not going to Rio for the thing.
Oh.
All right, Chip, Ernie, and Chad?
No.
Biff? Dale?
There's a guy who got, Skippy? The one who got married. He got married on
Flash?
The show. Let's see here. My three sons.
Yeah.
Google's
a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I know. William Frawley. There were actually two.
That's Uncle William.
There were two of them, though.
There were?
William Demarest came in after William Frawley.
He's the one, because William Frawley was on
He was playing Bub's brother. So Bub O'Casey was William Frawley.
All right.
And then William Demarest played Bub's brother, and that's the one you mentioned.
Right.
Let's
see. Uncle Charlie.
Uncle Charlie, right.
I need the guys.
I'm getting there. So we've got...
Bob. I don't think it was Bob.
Don Grady, Stanley Livingston, Barry Livingston.
Yeah, Stanley and Barry Livingston. But do we have the characters' names? You're not helping out.
Yeah, well, I'm
in
reading
the meantime,
as fast as
no,
I can.
I understand. While you're doing that, you find out. I'm going to tell people, I'm going to warn people, because some people may be enjoying adult beverages over the Memorial Day weekend. If you are, be careful. Because one valid reason to not drink is because you could end up like this guy from Russia who got into an argument with a reflection of himself at the grocery store.
What? He did what?
He was so drunk he started fighting with his own reflection. He was spotted in a grocery store in Russia. He was trying to buy a few dozen eggs. As he tried to walk through the aisle, he stops at a shop mirror, and I saw the pictures of this. Seeing his reflection, he tells the other person to go ahead, but the other person is him. So he sees his reflection, he goes, hey, you go first. The guy, the reflection guy, doesn't move because it's him. So he starts getting into a full-blown conversation and argument with the mirror, who is him, thinking that the guy is ignoring him. So he gets more and more frustrated. Meanwhile, somebody behind him films the whole exchange, which is believed to have taken place this week at a supermarket. So be careful, folks, if you're drinking tonight. And Robbie, Chip, Ernie, and Robbie, thank you, Texter. Thank you, Texter, from the
630. And then there was another Mike, the eldest son, Mike.
I don't
know. Well, from Tim Considine, that was in the first year or so.
Yeah,
and
that's then like he went, Chuck from Happy Days.
Right.
Chuck from Happy Days and Mike from My Three Sons. That would have been my four sons. It's my three sons, Chip, Ernie, and Robbie.
And then they adopted the kid from down the street.
No, that was Cousin Oliver from the Brady Bunch.
No. My three sons, they adopted the kid with the glasses from down the street.
That's Cousin Oliver on the Brady Bunch.
No.
And Ernie had the glasses.
No.
All right, relax. All right, listen, don't whine. Whining is not attractive. We have to do this and then say goodbye at WGN.